welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert. And we are so excited because today we have with us one of the main stars of A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, The Dream Master, a magnificently talented actor, a magnificently talented singer, and just an all-around awesome person. We are so excited to welcome to Happy Horror Time Tuesday night.
Woo!
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Welcome.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes, we're so excited to, you know, I first off, you have such a cool, unique name. I'm sure you get this a lot, but is there a story behind it or yeah?
Well, I don't know. My mom tells me that I was named that after her because she was born on a Tuesday. So I was like, okay, well, what does that have to do with me really? But then, okay.
Okay. Really? So she named it after her. Do you know what day you were actually born on?
I think I was born on a Monday.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And she's like, I forget it.
But she was born on a Tuesday. So that's what matters.
Yeah, I love that. And she's like, you know what? This is about me. So we're going to name you Tuesday night. That is so cool though. So, you know, I mean, obviously, but before Nightmare 4, had you done much professional acting or theater, or were you more dedicated to pursuing your career in music, or how did that start?
I'd done more before Nightmare. I'd done more music, and I did some TV too. I did General Hospital. I was on that soap for a while.
I love soaps.
Yeah, me too. I was on that one for a while. There's really a great one you have to watch on. It's on what is it? Prime. I think it's called Ladies of the Lake. Have you heard of that?
Why does it sound familiar?
It has like all soap stars on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
It's totally cool. You got to watch it. If you like soaps, you'll really dig it.
Are you on it too?
No, I'm not. Oh, okay. I wish I was, but they ended it. I saw the whole thing. I wasn't on it. Damn it. I was so bummed. Oh. But it was so good though. I want you to see it.
Definitely. I'll check it out.
So you had done General Hospital and...
Yeah, and Santa Barbara. Do you remember that soap
opera? Of course. I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah, I did something on that too for a little bit. And then I did like things like Facts of Life and...
My favorite show ever.
Oh my God.
Yes.
What part did you... Or what role did you play in Facts of Life? I just know Facts of Life.
I'm a fan, but I don't know.
I played, you know, Pippa. Remember Pippa?
Yeah,
the Australian.
Of course.
Yeah. I played her friend and I was like the leader of the band. She made me the leader of the band and I was like this real tough girl that was like the leader telling them all what to do. And we sang a song on it and everything. I played guitar. It was really fun.
I love that.
That's awesome.
I saw that episode, by the way.
Did you? Did you see it?
Of course. I think I saw it like when it was on the first time. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ah. That's so cool.
And then I did a really cool part on Fame. That was like my first big thing that I did. And then Nightmare happened. And then once Nightmare happened, music sort of took a little bit of a backseat just because I started going out for all these other things and I was booking other jobs and I was loving acting so much. I just loved creating, you know, characters and I loved all that.
When you like, what was the audition process like for Nightmare 4? I mean, did you know much about the series at that point?
Oh yeah, I totally did. Oh yeah. When I found out I had an audition for it, I was freaked out freaked out with happiness. And so I went there for the audition with Annette Benson. And then she gave me a call back and I came back and I read with Rennie and then Rennie just hired me. And then that's when I asked him if I could put some music in the movie. And so I asked him if I could have a day to do it. And I went and did it in like 3 hours and brought it back and he loved it. And
then you wrote that song.
I wrote it and sang it.
It is like the best song ever. It's like the best opening. I love that song.
And we do. And we were actually listening to it before. We love, like, absolutely love that song. But I had read somewhere that you didn't know it was going to be in the film till like the premiere. Is that true?
No. I knew it was going to be in the film, but I didn't know where it was going to be in the film.
Oh.
So when I sat down and I was like, oh my God, it's the title credit song. I'm like freaking out.
It's such a memorable song. Was your mind blown sitting there?
It was completely.
It is so good.
So, and you would, because you were a singer and singer-songwriter, and you just went and just wrote the song based on it and just gave it to
I just said, I'm going to write, my partner and I just said, we're going to write a song. And I said, let's write Love Song to Freddie. So it's like a love song to Freddie, you know, it was my swan song for Freddie.
And you said, so you knew about the series at that point. So you knew like there had been three movies and this was the
fourth. Yeah.
Were you a fan of horror before?
Yes.
What's your favorite horror movie of all time?
I can't believe you asked that.
I love it. I love that movie. Question.
I got to be honest with you. Nightmare on Elm Street is really my favorite. The first one and the New Nightmare. I loved all of them. I did not love all of them. I loved one. I loved four and three, and I loved seven.
Well, tell us about seven. It's a New Nightmare. You are in it. How did that come about?
Well, it was going to be a bigger story. What was going to happen was they brought me back. They brought the guy. What is his name? Nick Corey. He's a different name now.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I think I wrote it down. I was looking.
That's right, Jesus. Oh, that's so funny.
No, I think his name is, it's like it, JSU, but yeah, I don't know how to pronounce
it. I don't know how to pronounce it either, so I just said Jesus.
Jesus, yes, definitely.
You know what is so funny? It's so funny. He called me like a couple times, like not too long ago. I don't even really know why, but he was like, yeah, Tuesday, this is whatever his name is, JSU. I wanted to see if you want to get together. And I was like, oh my God, is that guy? Because I met him like briefly that day, which was in 93. And it was just so weird to get a call from him. You know, I was kind of like hesitant. I was like, I don't know you. I'm not sure what you're doing.
You're like, but I can't even pronounce your name. I'm not sure if we should.
I can't say your name.
He's cute though, right? He's cute.
Totally. Yes, yeah. He is.
He's very cute.
But the story was going to be where we were back as ourselves and we were having trouble with nightmares. And Wes was going to go into interviewing each one of us within the movie. But it happened that the movie was longer and he couldn't get that storyline in there. So that's why we're only in there for like 5 seconds. But you know what? It was great to work with him.
Yeah, you got to work with Wes Craven.
I was totally flattered and so happy to be there. And Heather and I got to hang out a lot, which was cool. I got to know her better. And Wes, I was also really happy because right after that, Wes did this article and he said that that I played Kristen the way he wrote it and that I was a survivor and he never meant for Kristen to be a victim.
Oh, wow. Well, speaking of that, like bringing it back, well, first off, that's awesome to have, you know, the legendary Wes Craven say that and to be
involved. I know.
And I think, you know, that scene in New Nightmare, it's short, but it's such a cool scene for fans because it's like you can go through and you're like, oh, I see that person. I see that person. I see that person from many people involved. It's such a cool scene and like all the wind and there's like an earthquake and the coffin like falls over.
I know. And Heather's like falling in it and trying to get out. And oh, it's great.
It's great. But I mean, so the role of Kristen, obviously, in part three was portrayed by Patricia Arquette. And
right.
You know why Patricia decided not to return? Was it just like the usual?
I think she was having a baby, but she's really cool because I saw her in Blockbuster Video when we had those. And she said to me was, you were the best Kristen.
Oh, that's so nice. I was going to ask you, like, did you ever get a chance to meet her?
Wasn't that sweet to say?
That's amazing. An amazing girl. Oh my God.
And I was like, no. We were like, no, you were. No, I was. No, we, no.
And then the front person, the attendant's like, ma'am, can you pick your video at Blockbuster, please?
Exactly. They're like, can you get out of here?
That's really cool. You just randomly ran into her at the Blockbuster?
Yes, randomly with her and her, I think it was her daughter. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, she obviously played the role in part three. And then so what, when you first got the role, what was it like? Did you feel pressure to play the part as Patricia did, or did you just try not to let her perform
it, make it your own
influence?
No, I didn't feel pressured one bit. I made it my own. I looked at her, when I was auditioning, I watched three, I kind of got some of her mannerisms down, kind of did my hair like that. Those kinds of things I did. But the minute that I got the part, I just let it go. And I was like, I'm just going to do this part the way I see it. And I saw Kristen in this one being more edgy. I saw her with a bigger edge than Patricia was a victim in the other one. She was very meek, I thought. And in this one, I was like, no, this has got to be more of a.
You're a warrior.
To be honest,
I just wanted to say this, and this is the complete truth. Like, we felt like you brought like this newfound confidence to the part. Like, it was just a really like a certain edge, like you were saying to Kristen. So it was just really cool to see the character evolve in that way. So, you know, we loved you as Kristen. It's not to take away anything from Patricia. It's just like you said, you know, it's a different role, but by the time you're taking over the role, she's not in the institution anymore. She's a little bit, you know, she's more of a fighter. She smokes. Right. She's cool.
She lives in a beautiful house. She's got a cute boyfriend.
That's right.
But it is cool. So I think it's great that like you took the character and did that. But I think it's also cool that you watched the third one, but also you didn't let it influence what you were doing.
No, I didn't. For some reason, it's the way I act too. When I'm preparing for something, I'll prepare it and really get it down. But then I let it go when I start to work, because I like it to be fresh and I want it to be real. So because I feel if you overdo it, then it's never going to come out realistic, and you're not going to be listening to the other person. You're going to be paying attention to your lines and all that, which I can't do. Because I suck if I'm memorizing or I have cue words or my cue or any of that. I'm like, no, don't say that.
So what was it like? I mean, we've watched different documentaries and things and heard all kinds of stuff about the director, Renny Harlin, and working with him. What was it like working with him? I mean, I read some of there was like tension between him and Bob Shea during filming or like.
Well, there was tension. I was going out with Andras at the time, the guy who played my boyfriend.
Oh,
In real life. So,
wow.
So, and
it was
and,
method.
And he was cute. Yeah, you're like method. Cute. I totally got into the role. I dated my boyfriend.
Yes. I was a method actress. and Renny liked me. And I liked Renny. I mean, in a director sort of way, but he kind of had a little bit of a crush on me, I think. And so there was tension between him and Andras, which was for sure. And everybody thought we were sleeping together, me and Renny, the whole cast. Everybody still does. They still think I'm lying, and they think that we were having this big affair. You know what? I should have had the affair, because I would have been in The Long Kiss Goodnight. I would have been in, you know, what other movies? Did
Die Hard 2?
Die Hard 2? Come on. I mean, come on. Was I a dummy or what?
No. I mean, but wait. So wait. I love love triangles. So Renny had a crush on you. You were dating Andras, is his name. And was Renny actually treating Andras badly because of that? Or did he take, you know, keep it away?
Well, Andras thought he was. I you know, this was like my first film and I was pretty young and I was really sort of naive and I didn't really pay attention to that. I knew a lot of the cast were really like, okay, well, I'll tell you the truth. When I first saw the Never Sleep Again, besides being just getting over cancer, and I had cancer, I had breast cancer, and I had dark hair and I was swollen and I didn't look like myself at all, which I'm sure if you've seen it, you know, it doesn't look like me at all. And I just looked awful and I had to do it because it was the time to do it. But, everybody, when I saw that documentary, my feelings were really hurt. I couldn't believe how they were talking about me and how they were saying that I was the queen bee and that I was, it was Renny and me and it was Tuesday every day and just all these kinds of things that were said. It really hurt my feelings. And I just was like, wow. I can't believe it. So I'm not fond of that documentary at all, because that one really hurt my feelings. And I just had to finally let go of it and say, okay, you know, I mean, I couldn't help it that the director favored me. Yeah. You know what I mean? I wasn't the type at that time. And I don't think I even would be now, but to like, be like, oh, wow, that's fascinating. Oh, he loves me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not like that. So I just tried to do the best I could do. And we had a relationship, but I didn't really think it was bothering anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, and it's been a long time, and it's like people, crazy to if people looking back with anything but good memories. I mean, like, well, just know that you have tons of fans yeah. that all love you, and we're aww, and so you. Like so excited to be part of having you on the podcast and everything. I mean, oh wait, real quick, I had to, my boyfriend, Jacob, he's a huge, 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 huge fan of yours, and he has to say hi, just if you don't mind.
Hi.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm co-producer of the show, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. I heard him talking about big fans, and I was like, he said he was going to have me say hi to her, so I better walk out now. And
that's so sweet.
I could say like a million gushy, embarrassing things.
Do it.
No, I just want to say, like, really a huge fan of all of your work, your film, television, and your music a lot. And like, you look freaking great. Thanks for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. You're adorable too. You guys are all three is so adorable.
Isn't he? Isn't he?
Yes, no, he is. I definitely see what you see in him. Yes.
I'm going to float away.
Oh, those are,
you're so sweet.
Yeah, I wanted to. He was definitely a huge. I mean, we're all fans, but we were listening to your music like before this for the last hour, like going through everything. We were just very, very.
Did you see my new music video?
Is it the one for the Bloody Man?
It's a new one. It's called Just Like That. It's on YouTube.
No, we didn't see the music video, but we probably are going to turn it on immediately after.
Yeah, you got to check it out and see. Let me know what you think of it.
Of course, of course. What I was saying is that we had recently interviewed Monica Keena from Freddy vs. Jason and just asked her uh-huh. about working with Robert Englund. And I just would love to hear. She was just saying how incredibly sweet he was. And it's so funny because he's playing such a brutal character. But what are your memories of working with Robert Englund and what he was like?
Pretty much the same. He was really funny, very charismatic, excellent with actors, very giving actor, great storyteller. I mean, he just loves to talk, and he will tell you stories, and you'll sit there for like hours just amazed at what he's telling you. He could be talking about like caulking his bathroom. Excuse my French.
No, that's the correct word.
Yeah.
He could be like talking. Right? Yeah, I know, but it's just such a funny word.
It is a funny word. It's hilarious.
But I mean, it's a beautiful word, but you know, he'll just talk about like, you know, designing his house and what he's doing. And you're just like, He's really fascinating. I like the way he tells a story.
No, I've heard you know, about his storytelling abilities, and I'm thinking like I would love to hear some of those stories. Maybe not so much about the caulking the bathroom.
No, but, I do.
Yeah, but also two other
Tim
people.
Does.
Tim's like caulking anything with caulk.
Listen, right? we're in a pandemic.
I know. Believe me, I know it.
Oh, I you know, two other people we wanted to ask you about working on the film with were Lisa Wilcox, Alice, obviously, uh-huh. in the film, and also Brooke Bundy, who played your mother, Elaine.
Andale. I loved her. She was my favorite part of the film. Working with her was unbelievable, because I don't know if you're aware of her career, but yeah. I mean, oh my God, she's been on everything, and she is so cool. I loved working with her. Lisa and I were not that close. We weren't. We did our scenes, and we didn't get close until like 20 years later when we got into a business together, Tobrides.
Oh.
That was when it happened. It was during the shoot. She was kind of in her own world. She had just gotten married. She was, you know, into all that stuff, you know, and it was, she never really hung out with us.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, Monica Keena, when we talked to her, she said that, like, I mean, you're all final girls, and or you actually died, but I mean,
can you believe that?
Well, but Kristen's still, character Kristen's a final girl, so I still consider.
But I mean,
you.
Like, there's a group of girls. I mean, do you have fun hanging out with the Nightmare Girls and the Friday Girls when you attended a convention?
Oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah,
that's cool. I mean, speaking of Kristen, so I've said this before, but one of the things I absolutely hate that sometimes they do in horror movies is when like there's a character who survives and then they kill them off in the sequel. So I remember as a kid seeing Nightmare 4 and being so upset that they had killed Kristen off. And I was just wondering, how did you feel about that? And were you upset they didn't keep her alive longer? Did you feel that they needed
I was kind of upset because I thought, wouldn't it have been great to have her like be like the survivor, like after all she'd been through. I thought that that was really that would have been a really good way to go. But I was glad I got to come back and scare Rick in the bathroom and I got
that
to
was
come
hilarious.
Back. Yeah, I got to come back in a couple little scenes. So I was like, all right.
The movie theater and all that. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. They keep the character throughout. But I'm wondering, did they think it was just like integral to the story to pass on the like survivor thing? Because I personally just hate when they do that in sequels. But I guess was that
I don't
story?
Like it either. I don't like it either. And I thought for sure, you know, when I got the script, I was like, oh, come on, I got to live in this thing. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Lisa gets to live. Oh, man.
I know. It's just, it is weird because you like as fans and which we are huge fans, you get attached to these characters and, you know, it just, and also they work so hard to survive, you know, and then it just seemed, but the thing is that I felt like,
but you know what, if I would have survived, I would have had to do 5.
Ah, that's hilarious.
No.
I like it.
It's okay. It's okay. But when you've got one and you've got three, you know what I mean? You're like,
your movie was number one.
Yeah.
I know it was. Yay!
Until Freddy versus Jason, it was the top grossing. And you can argue that Freddy versus Jason is kind of like half Nightmare. So it's like the highest grossing one. I mean, it is a really good sequel that it is just a weird thing because it's like, I feel like the first third or half is like focusing on you and the survivors, Kincaid and Joey. And then it like passes off into a different direction. That's why I didn't know if it was just like integral to the story that they had to kill you off or not. But speaking of your death scene, I love, it's almost like a Dirty Dancing type of vault before he vaults you into the furnace. Did you do that scene? Was that all you?
That was me. Except the only part, it wasn't me when he threw me in, but it was when I jumped up on him. Yes.
That makeup is so funny. You're all burnt.
I know. I'm all burnt out going,
I just my favorite because it's like you run and like he like vaults you up almost like it's like Dirty Dancing style and then into the furnace and you're
that's
like
that's great. I never thought about that, but now that you mention it, I can totally see that.
And that's why I was like, this is a good like, stunt type.
Because like it's a horror movie and it was the 80s, like did you feel like, and there's so many special effects, and this is way before like CGI. Did how long did an average scene take? Or I mean, like,
you know, some of them took longer. Like, I mean, the one with when Brooke turns into the cockroach.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that took longer. But what a great scene. And you know what? When I saw this movie, you know, for that year thing we went to, that premiere they had, like about, I think it was like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I was there and you sang.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was awesome. That, it was packed.
I know it was. And that, seeing it there again on a big screen like that, it was so good. And it was like the special effects were done so well back then for like, you know what I mean? It was actually nice to see them not CGI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
No, it is. It and a lot of movies today, it's just, it's CGI. It's just too much, you know? It looks fake and miss the old 80s effects.
And I'm going back, like, was there a premiere in 88? Or, I mean, like, today everything is so documented, but like, was it like a red carpet premiere or...
I'm trying to think, was there, God, I can't even remember that. I think there was like there was definitely a showing of it. Cause that was when I went there and my agent came and everybody came there. So I think there was one. And then after that, we went as a group to different theaters and that's sat fun. In the back row and then watched how people reacted to it. And they like, didn't even know we were in there. It was just so funny. We'd watch them like laugh and like, you know, be like, it was like really cool to see the reaction of people.
Oh, that's awesome. A blast. I love everything about that.
I know. That's awesome. You know, we already mentioned the song Nightmare and how integral to the movie it was. But I think, so how can people get their hands on Nightmare? I think you released it in one of your albums a few years ago, and then you released its own EP in vinyl.
Yeah, you can get it on iTunes.
Okay. Okay, but when you'd released, I think it was a few years ago, it was like an EP or something. There's a lot of different mixes or just different versions?
There was a lot of different mixes on it. Yeah, I think that's still up there.
That is awesome.
That's got to be such a good feeling, knowing that you made a song that's will stand the test of time.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. And it really opened the door for me. Rennie really opened the door for me for other films and putting music in other films. Because it really made an impact, and I was really grateful.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it's because there aren't, you know, horror movies usually are known for their themes, their theme music, but it's really cool when a horror franchise can have like a song that is like the quintessential song.
Did you hear the song that I wrote for The Bloody Man?
Yes, we were just playing it. And that's actually, well, when we get off Nightmare, we wanted to ask you, but because I have so many questions about, so I was just looking through your IMDb and I saw, you know, it says The Bloody Man and it says starring Tuesday Knight and Lisa Wilcox. And I was like, wait, what?
The poster is amazing.
Yeah. So first off, please tell us everything you can possibly are allowed to tell us about, because it hasn't come out yet, right?
No, it hasn't come out yet. But I won Best Actress at the North Carolina International Film Festival.
Oh, congratulations.
That's awesome.
So yeah, tell us, how did that come to be? What is it about? Who are you playing?
Well, it's about a comic book character. Mm-hmm. And it's about the 80s, and he basically comes to shake up the 80s.
I love that's all I can, you're saying.
That's all I can tell you. Because
wait, a comic book character, surprised. When you say shake up the 80s, is this like horror, or is it just like we're dancing? Oh, horror.
The title kind of says it.
Well, maybe he's a fun guy. And so
it's scary.
And you're reuniting with Lisa Wilcox in terms of acting, which is awesome. Do you guys play like... you know,
sisters?
Yeah, or
no, actually I play the stepmom and she plays the mom that died.
Oh, that is so, what was it like working with her again on that? But you said you've already
I didn't get to work with her. She worked on different days than I did.
Oh no. The fact that it's both of you in the movie is so awesome. And when is it going to be releasing?
We're waiting right now to find out when it's going to be released. I'm waiting from the director for him to let me know. So it should be soon. It should be soon. I should know soon. And I'll let you know for sure.
Yeah, yes. I can't wait. I want to see a screening.
No, I know. Like we're thinking because everything is, you know, on demand right now, obviously, because movie theaters are closed. So when I saw it, I was looking on demand. I was like, I can't find it. And I messaged Mike and he's like, oh, it's not out yet. I was like, okay, well, I'm freaking out because I saw both.
Well, we can't travel to South Carolina, or was it North Carolina?
It is Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. Okay.
Oh.
No, I mean, where'd you win your award?
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, it's South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay. Because that's where we can't go there.
I know.
So other than, I mean, you said Lisa, but do you keep in touch with any of the cast and crew from Nightmare 4? And
The cast, yes. The crew, a little bit. But mostly the cast. I mean, you know, Andras and Lisa and Brooke and the other Brooke. Yeah, we do. We're still really close. I mean, we are still very, you know, at the hip.
And from the other movies, from the other sequels, like Mark Patton or Kim Myers. I'm just name dropping.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like Kim a lot. We've had dinner together a couple times, and Mark Patton is really sweet. I mean, I'm friends with mostly all of them. Heather is great. I love Heather. She's wonderful.
And I have a question.
I'm going to show you my award. I'm going to show you my award.
Oh, yeah. Please show us. And we'll describe it for the listeners since they're just a...
it's a podcast.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Oh.
Okay, so Matt, describe it. It's a big pumpkin.
No, it's got... How do I break this? Oh, it is. It's a pumpkin with a big open mouth. It's a jack-o'-lantern, not a pumpkin.
Yes, it is. With a bat.
Yes, over like a bat. And it says, Halloween International Film Festival 2020 Best Supporting Actor.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Isn't that fun? Cool.
And I it's love like, that little award.
I know. That is so weird. That is really,
I got
really cool.
Most improved.
The awards Tim's gotten as participant. And no, that's so cool. And it's, you know, so another thing that sometimes we like to ask people when we're interviewing them about it, what is there one, I think you've already told us some stuff, but what's one thing that you can tell us about Nightmare 4 that you've never told any other interviewer, any other publication, any other podcast, anything, whether it's just like about the filming, juicy yeah. gossip, anything?
Andras and I had sex in the trailer a lot.
You heard it here. That is amazing. Were you ever caught?
Almost many times. Oh, yes.
That is, I love that.
That is,
I've never told anybody that.
That is, well, thank you.
Thank you.
That is awesome. I love hearing any stories like from filming or like behind the scenes or things, but I love it that, and then you got to film scenes with him as your boyfriend. That's so good. And you guys have never met before.
No.
Film, right?
No, we never did. Actually, when I met him, it was, Rennie had me pick out the people I thought were good for the cast. He had me read with all of them.
That's so nice.
And so I read with all of them. And when I saw him, I was like, I thought for sure he really had it. He was really.
Oh, this is a question. You don't have to answer. We can always cut it. Was there anyone that auditioned like that? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Jason Priestley. Like, is there someone like, I don't know, that audition that you remember that didn't get the part? This is me just being gossipy and terrible.
No, the only person that I remember who auditioned was an actress named Lisa Alpert, and she was going to play Alice. And I thought that she might be better because she looked like Andras. They had dark hair, blue eyes.
Brother and
sister. They looked like that. And I thought, and I liked her. But then when Lisa came in, she had more... you know, Lisa Wilcox, I felt, had more of the characteristics of her. Yeah.
No, that's really cool that you got to like be involved in casting and everything.
Yeah.
That's,
it was really fun.
I know. That must be so cool. I know that, we kind of brushed on New Nightmare, but we had talked about like the scene, but how did that even come to be? Like, did you just get a phone call? Like, I mean, to do the cameo, you just got a phone call and they like were assembling.
I just got a phone call from my agent just saying that Wes, you know, Craven wanted me to be in this, in that movie. And I was like, oh my God. And then I thought, great. Now there's another reason for all the people in Florida to hate me. Right.
Oh, cause you were the only one that got a call.
Yes.
What I was wondering is that other than you and I hate saying Jesus because we don't say, but like, were there other
Nick people Corey.
That they tried to get in that scene, but they couldn't, or they are from other movies that they wanted to get in that scene?
I don't know. Gosh, I didn't know anything about that. I just knew that we all just reported there and we were told to go there. And I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
You're playing yourself.
Yeah. So it was fun, right?
It was like the meta. It was like before Scream, the meta version. I love New Nightmare, by the way. I mean, like, I just think it's such a cool interpretation of it. And it's just so genius, like, and especially for its time, you know, because before
I think
Scream,
it was way before its time. I don't think audiences were ready for something so sophisticated.
I agree. I think it was really, really, really good. I loved it. I thought it was good.
I do wish, like you were saying, that they had kind of, you know, had where you guys were all having nightmares and like the real Freddy coming after.
Yeah. We were going to be like involved with Heather and everything and like, you know, be having these nightmares and all that. And then it just didn't work out. I don't know really why. I think I heard that it was mentioned that it was too long.
I mean, the movie, if I do remember, that movie is a long film and it's pushing 2 hours.
It is. Yeah.
And I'm thinking maybe, I mean, there was in that movie, it's a lot to comprehend because it's such a mind fuck between like, no, I mean, like knowing that these are actors who are playing themselves, but they're kind of like.
Oh, I know. And you never know like where you are.
Yeah. No. So I'm thinking if they went into too many of the former actors, people would be like, but wait, but
Heather's playing Heather. She has a son, but she's an actress who really doesn't have a son.
And then like, if they were like, well, Tuesday.
And is that really her house or is that really her car? And like,
Tuesday's back, but wait, she was Kristen. She was killed in the fourth one. But then but she was, you know, just like, but is she playing herself or is it just a kid? Yeah. But it was a cool thing. And it was cool having all of the different people work, like John Saxon, I think. Robert Englund playing himself, which is awesome.
Oh, I know. That was great. I loved it when John Saxon is just suddenly just like, Nancy, hi, okay, Nancy. You know, like, because before he's calling, you know, he's calling her Heather.
Right. Like, and then
all of a sudden he like turns into like her dad, which is like crazy.
I know. No, it is. Like I said, a mind fuck, probably best.
I don't like when you cuss, Matt.
But we can say cock as much as possible.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's right. We're allowed to say cocking.
Yeah. Yes. Because we're building a house.
Exactly. That's right. Well, let's ask Robert Englund about that. Well, I think that's all of the questions I have. Tim, do you have other questions?
No, I mean, real quick, who was your favorite Facts of Life girl to work with on that day?
Oh, a perfect. Absolutely have one. Guess who it is? Guess who it is? She was the only one nice to me. The only one that was.
I'm gonna hope it's Lisa Welchel.
It was.
Oh,
yay, Blair! Wow.
Which is funny because she plays probably what you would consider the meanest of the four, you know. And
that's right. You're right. And the other ones were snotty, and it was their show, and they didn't care. And she was so nice. And that's why now when I see her on TV, I'm always like, you are so nice. I just remember her because she was so nice to me.
I love that. I love hearing that, too.
And I hope that, like, regardless of how the documentary went or whatever, that, like, you know that you have such incredibly devoted fans like us, like my boyfriend who you saw get. I haven't seen him get that nervous in a long time.
He's so cute.
And people absolutely love your character, loved your interpretation of the character, love your music. Your music is so cool. Like,
thank you.
My favorite song is Temporarily Obsessed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one, too. You know, right now, I'm going to be like auditioning to play Madonna.
Yeah, I see it. I totally agree. I know that people on a podcast can't see you, but I see it.
Yeah. No, I can see that. Wait, for what? For a movie? For a show?
To play her. To play her in the 90s. And the thing is she already, they saw me from her company already and wanted me to play her.
Oh my God, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So I'm hoping that goes well. I sent them my videos and all my stuff and my music reel and you know, a bunch of my acting reel stuff. So yeah, that would be amazing.
I was going to ask about upcoming projects, but I guess that would be...
that's a big one.
That is a big one. Wow.
Yeah.
That
must have. You got to look at my video. Don't forget, because I want to know what you think of it.
Oh, 100%.
It's a very sexy song.
Yes. Yay. Awesome. Like I said, for the last hour, we were literally, and I'm not just saying that, we were literally listening to your songs. We were like getting in the mood. We were listening to Nightmare a few times.
You have my email, don't you? You have my email, right? Uh-huh. So write me and tell me what you think of it.
We will 100% do that right after we get off. It's called
Just Like That.
Just Like That. Wait, I want to write.
I'll remember that.
Just Like That. We're going to do it right after this. But so we just want to thank you so much, Tuesday.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Seriously. It's been
Bye, Madonna.
I know. It's been an honor talking to you.
Bye, David Bowie.
That is hilarious. I don't see it, but thank you.
Oh,
he's like, Tim is so pretty. He's like David Bowie looks. He's about
and that's an honor.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's a compliment. A huge compliment. Bowie's gorgeous.
And who do I look like? I look like you're like Corey Feldman.
No, you do not. You're way cuter than Feldman.
Corey Haim.
Stop, but continue. No, in college, if you can believe it, I used to get Corey Feldman all the time. And I was like, in college.
Well, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I got Madonna so much that I did everything I could possibly do as an actress to change it. I dyed my hair dark. They still thought I looked like Madonna. I dyed my hair red. They still thought I looked like Madonna. Everything I did was Madonna, Madonna, Madonna. And in my letter that I wrote to the producer, I told them this. I'm like, I am your girl. This has been going on for like forever. Mikey helped me and he's awesome. Mikey's-
oh, we love Mikey. Thank you, Mikey, for doing
this. Yes. Thank you again to Mikey because connecting us with you, connecting us with so many others, and it's just been amazing. And we're putting it out in the universe right here to you to get the role of Madonna. I feel like this is like, it's meant to be. Like if you've been doing all this time, it's like when I play Corey Feldman in that documentary and Tim plays
David. That's right. if Corey Feldman actually is in this, I'm going to get you. I'm going to have you play it.
Thank you. You heard it here. Happy Horror Time. Corey Feldman, So Corey Feldman, David Bowie, and Madonna went on to a bar. That's going to be the story of the three
of us. That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again. Thank you so much. And we will email you about the video. We're going to watch it right now. And we will also email you when the episode is going to be coming out, probably in a few weeks.
Okay.
And thank you so much for this interview. We really appreciate it.
You guys are adorable.
Thank you for taking the time.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Have a great night. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye Tuesday.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other platforms, including Happy TV, a free streaming app with content dedicated to the LGBTQ+ community.
To stay involved with the podcast, please like our Happy Horror Time Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to contact us directly, email us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, your recommendations, or any other horror celebs you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime. We have some upcoming bonus episodes that will be released just for our patrons.
Before we go, we'd like to recommend a podcast we both love called Movies That Made Us Gay.
Each week, the hosts, Scott and Peter, discuss a movie from their past that had a lasting impression on their lives. These guys are a ton of fun, and both Tim and I have actually made guest appearances on the show to discuss some iconic films.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.